How many of us here are at least second and above generation Christians? Would you raise your hands? Oh. Most of us are second generation and above Christians. And to you and I that are in that group, a lot is being required. The Lord requires a lot of those who have some extra knowledge and some extra upbringing, all the things that contribute to one being able to follow the Lord. And there's a number of us here, though, today, that are first-generation Christians, that within our family unit, we are the first ones to become believers in the Lord Jesus. Maybe that's easier, because what happens to those of us, I shouldn't say that, what often happens, what may happen to those of us who know the Lord, have known the Lord since we were knee-high with grasshopper, we become very complacent. But those who are first-generation believers, it's new, it's exciting, it's, oh, the Lord has saved me from hell. For those of us who have been saved for a while or grew up in a Christian environment, we don't even know what hell's about. We don't even know the meaning of hell. But those who have come out of a non-Christian environment know something of what it means to follow the Lord. So let's give thanks. Our Father and our God, for those of us here who have known you and have been taught about you by parents, by family, by this church, we are thankful for that. And for those of us here that believing in you and following you is a new thing for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen and encourage in this area. And we thank you for the privilege of being born into a country that allows the kind of conversation that we're having right now. In your name, amen. Today is Father's Day, and we're not only seeking to honor the fathers that are here, but also to remember our memories, those fathers, those individuals who have served and functioned as fathers in our lives. Perhaps some of you know, in our case, my parents passed away when I was like 9 and 10. And so I moved from home to home for a while during that period and had different men who functioned as fathers. And then an uncle volunteered to be my guardian, and he became my father and has functioned as that in that capacity all during my elementary teen and on into my adult life. And then we started to attend Dunning Park. Notice I said attend Dunning Park. I didn't come once a month or when, you know, nothing else to do, and all the kind of reasons that we use for not being regular attenders in a church fellowship. So I attended this church, and as I attended this church, there were individual men in this congregation, some are still here. Some have gone on to glory. But they scheduled their lives so that they could have contact with me. This contact involved not, well, okay, let's get together for a Bible study and and you sit and you listen to me teach you. No, that isn't the way it went. There's a place for that. But I really believe there's a greater need and a greater honoring of what the Lord wants out of our Christian lives by simply giving time to one another. And so there were individuals in this congregation that, oh, can you have lunch next week, Art? Yeah, if you buy. Yeah. But you see what I'm getting at? That there was a desire to relate to me versus shaking hands with me at the door and say, oh, great to see you. Glad you're here, right? See you next Sunday. This is what we're talking about, folks, not only on the part of fathers, but on the part of all of us, that we have an interest in one another, and you were given an outline. You should have it, and it has down it, I believe it has time on it. Time, it looks something like, I guess I should look at it for the sermon here. So it's got time down the side of it here. And we'll look for a few minutes here at what T-I-M-E may have in meaning for us. As we have thought about Father's Day and our own fathers, hopefully most of the thought and memory is positive. Maybe it's not, though. In a funeral home, one evening I got talking to an individual because I was looking for, well, can you tell me something about the man in the casket so that I'll have something to say tomorrow? And he says, yeah, I can tell you. All he ever did was threw me against the wall and took a strap to me. That's all he ever did. Okay, now there's that kind, but they are not the norm. Fathers really seek to honor the Lord. Some guys change their employment pattern. I've seen that done in this congregation. Others maybe don't take the promotion that comes their way. That making another $100 a month doesn't charge them that much. But one of the reasons it doesn't charge them that much is they are married to a woman who isn't seeking, what can that $100 buy me every month? You know, I can go to the hairstylist every week now, etc. And so this whole thing of how we relate to one another in our families is interdependent upon men and women, our kids. We're a family unit. And then we come into this congregation, and we can either be people who shake hands and run out the door, or we can be people who have a commitment to the Lord Jesus, and that commitment is shown in the priority of our time, T-I-M-E. Now, one of the things that the Lord Jesus wants and desires from us is to remember him in communion. Oh, golly. That means I can't read the newspaper. Detroit News comes early. Yeah, I can't read the newspaper. Or it means, I don't know what it means in your home, but we would encourage you to recognize that the Lord Jesus, that's one of the two things he asked us to do, is come together in communion to remember him. to make 9:45 an important issue for you, for me. This morning, I could have taken longer time, you know, to study the word before I got here. Follow what I'm saying there? Is we put even the study of scriptures ahead of the Lord's desire for us to be here together. Give that some thought. I mentioned about individuals who took an interest, and it required a priority shift on the part of some of these men. I wasn't as desirable of a personality as I am now. Because I had smart things to say. When I was 35 or 40, I was pretty sharp. And I said things at times that Alice Ann tells me, you know, you lost some friends over that. And I said, so what? That isn't the way we can operate in a church fellowship. We must care for one another. So let's take our outline, if you would. First, let's turn to Psalm 78, and that's page 615 in the Chapel Bible. And notice, we're not going to go down the psalm this trip, but it says in verse 6 and 7 and 8, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. It says that they would put their trust in God. First step, let's think about trust in terms of salvation. Perhaps there's some of you here that for reasons that maybe you don't even know, have not accepted the Lord as the Lordship and as ruler in your life. You notice I didn't say, well, have you asked the Lord to come into your heart? There's some validity to that, but primarily we're talking about following the Lord and making that decision to follow the Lord. We urge you, as this point of salvation, to take that step today, if you haven't done that. Notice, too, that the next phrase says that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but keep his commands. Earlier we mentioned communion service, 9:45. That's a place, among other places, that we can come and remember the deeds of the Lord. Because it's a time set aside to do that. I know we get up every morning, we say, oh Lord, thank you for this day. But we don't, excuse me, most of us don't put a lot of time into it. There's some that do, but most of us don't. And we need to recognize that coming together gives that opportunity to remember him. Now, let's take this outline, but just one more thing. One of the ways that I can follow the Lord, and you can follow the Lord in a greater way is by who you associate with. That is, that there are friends we can have that contribute to our spiritual growth and development. There's others that just drag us down, but yet we're supposed to have non-Christian friends and contacts so that we can be used of God to tell them the gospel. And so there's a tight rope to be walked. I, on the one hand, need to walk this rope in a way that honors God in my behavior patterns. And then on the other hand, I have to be able to relate to that non-Christian or mediocre Christian friend of mine. And so I have to walk that line. And so now, you know, maybe one of the lines that I'll cross, I'm going to preach a Baptist sermon right now, and it's going to be the issue of drinking and taking a beer. Nothing wrong with that. And yet, when we take a beer in front of our children and the kids say, "Oh, you know, Dad drinks beer. He has a beer pretty well every night he comes home from work. Maybe two, maybe four. I don't know." But the point I'm making is we believe that it's no big deal. And yet we have no comprehension of the chemical makeup of our child, that he may have a chemical makeup that makes him easily succumb to alcohol, and yet we blow it off, no big deal. I'm just saying to you, it is something to be concerned about and to remember the effect on our children. All right, taking our outline, front of you there, the first phrase says, fathers, natural or functioning. In this culture especially, it's easy to become a father. Easier than it was when I was a young man. But number two is, to function as a father isn't as easy as it used to be. To function as a father requires a shifting, usually, of priority. That is that maybe I don't play as many cards, or I don't read the newspaper every morning, or I don't know what it is. But I do know that to be a functioning father, or for that matter, a functioning Christian, period, requires a shift of priority of how I use my time and energy. And that's the difference between a natural and a functioning father. To pass on as a functioning Christian in this outline, there are some things we need to look at. The T. T means to turn, to take a different approach, a different direction. Now, it also involves talking to one another, talking to our children, talking to the Christians here, So it requires some intentional turning and direction, and then some sociability. Now, most of the women sitting here can talk the leg off anybody. They just chatter and chatter, and they're on the phone, and they got their stuff up on the whatever it is, but they are able to talk. For those of us as men, if it's sports, we can talk pretty good. If it's about the church, again, we can talk pretty decently about it. But if it's specifically about the Lord's working in my life, I can count on the fingers of one hand how often I do that in a 5-year span. I didn't say in a month now. I said in a 5-year span. We as men, that isn't something we fall easily into. That's not mine, by the way. And I'm not done yet. And so I am saying that it requires us to talk and to turn. The next one down that outline is initiative. Initiative. When you take a job review, your boss, and he looks down his form, and he has this I, initiative, and it comes up in the review. Well, you know, we really wish you'd take more initiative. That's often what comes up. And this thing of initiative relates also to our families. It takes initiative for me to talk with our kids about the Lord's things. It's much easier to say, okay, it's time for Bible reading. If you take out the Bible here, we're reading in Matthew chapter 6. And we sit at the table and we go, it's done. You can go now, kid. Or we can go as adults. And those are good things, but they do not accomplish this thing of giving thought and time and initiative to our Christian walk. Some of us are able to, not able to, all of us are able to, I guess, but some of us do take the opportunity to share ourselves with our neighbors. It may be simply helping them spade the garden, or it may be roofing. I don't know what it is, but it's usually some activity that demonstrates to that neighbor that you care about him more than simply, "Hello there, Jack, good morning," as he sees you tuck your Bible under your arm and go to church. It takes more than that, and we need to be conscious of that. That's initiative. So initiative comes into play when I talked about 9:45, takes initiative. It is easy for we as men, for many men, I'm one of them, to get lost in whatever our interest is. And every once in a while, the little woman says, you know, I don't even know if you know I'm here. Because why? I might be down in the basement playing on the computer. I might be reading the paper. I don't know what it is, but the point I'm making is that we as men separate ourselves sometimes from the family unit, and it takes initiative on our part to work on that because we know better, but it takes initiative. The next one down there says M, memories, moments. Earlier I said I remember individuals who took an interest in me. I remember individuals who still take an interest in me. It isn't past, it's present. This past weekend we were visiting family up in Sault Ste. Marie. And of course everybody says, oh, it's so good to see you and glad you're here. And I say, yeah, but I-75 runs two ways. Yeah. And these folks expect me to run the 400 miles, and they never think to run the 400 miles south. And we can get into that groove sometimes. It's the other guy that should be taking the step towards us, not me responsible. E is an example. Experience, what it means to follow God. I made reference to lunches, breakfasts, sociability with people, with guys, and women once in a while too. And what do? They communicate what it means to follow God in practical, everyday ways. And I don't learn that because they turned to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and gave me a list. I learned that from interaction with them. And over a period of time, guess what? I have picked up something of what it means to follow God. And it doesn't come because we set aside, the only method isn't to set aside and say, well, we're going to meet together at 7 o'clock every Tuesday morning. The other part down there is anniversary. And anniversaries are not just recalling some dates, and don't you forget them, by the way. Yes, I was married on October 6th. Not the 10th, the 6th. And there's a lot of anniversary type things come up in June. June is an anniversary month, isn't it? And so I remember some things that happened to me. In June, I started to date this young woman in June. Okay? But I had an uphill battle, I really did, because her mother didn't think I was the best guy in town. Now, she learned otherwise, but it took a while, is the point I'm making. And all of the things that we're talking about today require that thing called time. And we can't diminish that. And so anniversaries, their point is to encourage us to recall in such a manner that it has an effect on our lives right now. That's what anniversaries are meant to do for us. Not simply to recall, but recall in such a manner that they affect my now. I.e., I simply don't say to whoever, "Happy anniversary!" No, I give thought to what that anniversary is about. And that last thing is prayer, which I said is the most important thing, but the most difficult to pass on. And it's difficult to pass on because of my inconclusiveness about it. Inconclusiveness about it. When I pray and God comes through for me, it's good. And I say, God answers prayer. Now, when the opposite thing happens, and I pray till I'm blue in the face, but nothing happens, I don't tell you, "Oh, I had a beautiful answer to prayer today." We don't recognize that God has answered prayer, whether it's good from my perspective, positive, or it is otherwise. But we need to realize, and I'm sure as we think about it and consider, we start to recognize that God has answered prayer regardless of the circumstances. And why is that? Is because I believe that God can be trusted. I believe that he can be trusted, and so do you. It's just that we need to be jacked up on it. But God does answer our prayers, and he is in the business of seeking to lift us up and make us into the people that he desires to follow after him. Let's pray together. The Lord bless and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious with thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace. We're going to sing together a song that's on the back of your sheet. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. So as we leave today, let's remember time, T-I-M-E, and it means for us to turn, to make interest in another It means initiative. In a lot of areas of life, it takes initiative. And then there are memories. All of us have had memories or have memories, good and bad, of the Lord's dealing with us and of others dealing with us. And then there's this thing of example. Remember that as we walk out of these doors, whether we like it or not, we are examples, especially to those younger than us, and to one another too. To one another too. So let's remember these things. T-I-M-E, as we go out and go about our tasks this coming week. Thank you.